our little podcast doing big girl research.
The people have spoken.
We have had over 2,000 women give us their thoughts.
You realise how much your parents do.
I think in my head, the relationship I thought they would have with my children is a bit different.
I definitely expected my friends to be as obsessed with my child as I am.
It would be nice to be asked more often.
We're still trying to navigate like the date night in.
It definitely did take us a while to find our groove.
Your partner needs to still feel like they're your first baby.
15% of nearly 400 people party often.
How can you possibly be the same person before and after you had children?
I do sometimes just feel I don't like how I'm parenting.
Nobody had prepared me for that reevaluation of self. Okay, welcome back everybody to the Voice Not Girl podcast, your safe space for all things motherhood realness.
Hello.
Alexandra, how are you?
I'm really well, thanks. Yeah, I'm doing good and excited for today's episode.
Can you believe it's our penultimate ep?
I can't actually. It feels like it's been going on for so long, but like at the same time it's going so quickly, I guess just because it's like a weekly thing, right? I know that probably sounds ridiculous, but it's exciting to see it all kind of come together. Long time in the making.
I'm loving it. Woohoohoo. Okay, so today we're talking about all things relationships, the good, the bad, and the bits in the middle. We've got some really interesting feedback from the listeners. It's not just going to be our input today, which is quite exciting.
Yeah, actual insights, research.
Actual factual statistics. Alexandra and I love a statistic.
We really do.
Okay, well, before we get into it, let's play our weekly game, shall we?
Let's get into it. Win and wing of the week.
Okay, so wing or win of the week, who is going first this week?
I don't know, are you feeling spicy? Do you want to go?
Go on, yeah, I could go.
Okay. Tell me.
All right, I'll go. And seeing as it's the penultimate one, I might bring two in this week. I'll keep them really short, but I think I've got two.
Oh my gosh.
I'm feeling proud of myself this week.
I hope they're wins and not wings then.
They are absolute wins because this is where we're at. Okay. I'm 4 months into newborn life with a two-year-old.
Love that.
And I'm feeling myself. So my first win is that I went to the cinema for the first time since 2018 with my newborn, and I sat and watched a whole film in peace and quiet, and it was absolutely unreal.
Oh my gosh, what did you see?
Yep. I went to go see the new Amy Winehouse, Back to Black.
Oh,
I went to Clapham Common Picture House to the baby. There's like a baby screening.
I've heard of these, but I've never been to one.
Me either. I'd never been to one. And I was like, do you know what? I'm going. So off me and Renee went. And we had popcorn and we had fizzy drinks.
Oh my gosh.
We sat and watched a whole film. Renee slept the whole time.
That's amazing.
I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, I can't even imagine going to the cinema. I haven't been for years. Like,
me either.
Maybe I should do that. Obviously, when I have a newborn. not just to walk up on my own.
I mean, you could come with us. Like, there were a few people with their baby and their friend, or like there's someone else.
Okay.
You could just come with us if you like.
Oh, that's so cute. Well done. So would you do it again then?
100%. Like, it was the best. I don't know how long the film was, but I didn't look at a phone, didn't pick up any dishes, didn't change a nappy. I just sat there in the reclining chair, and it was heavenly. Loved it.
Amazing. Well done for doing that.
Thank you very much. My second win of the week is that I finally got out and went for a run. We are four months postpartum, people. My ab separation is finally stitched back to a place of safety.
Okay.
And I got out and pounded that pavement, and it was delicious. So
this
I'm feeling like
moment.
I've refilled my cup.
Yeah, and I can, you know what, I can feel that in your vibe, in your energy. You're like, I'm feeling myself. Good for you.
Yeah.
So how did
Thank you very much.
Just on the running thing, like, how did you know that it was like time to go, okay, I'm ready now? Because like, it's great that you've like waited 4 months. I know some people feel a lot of pressure to do it like 6 weeks after, like you've waited till you were 4 months. Like, how did it then kind of come about?
I think my ab separation this time was a lot bigger than after Roman. So I only had, we can talk about it like probably another episode maybe, but with Roman, I only had like a one finger gap by the time I was 6 weeks postpartum, whereas Renee, my gap was still about 2.5 fingers wide.
Okay.
And that maybe sounds really strange to some people, but there are ways you can sort of self-examine your ab separation. Again, I'm not a medical professional, but there are ways you can do it.
Yeah.
So I've been doing some little bits of rehab at home, some exercises, just some deep breathing, some pelvic floor exercises, and some other like low ab exercises, and slowly it stitched itself back together.
Fabulous.
And then I just felt like I went for a 4K run. I didn't run too hard or too fast. I kind of just took my body for a test drive. Tested out these mum of two knees.
Love
just
that.
Tested out how, like, whether I was actually going to die by the time I got to a mile in.
I mean, 4K is, like, phenomenal, to be honest.
Do you know what? I'm really boasting here, but I think I could get in the sub under 30 minutes for a 5K. I think I'm going to try tomorrow and just see how
I don't even, like, know if that's good or bad. I don't know. Is that good?
Yeah, the like average is you should be able to run 5K in half an hour if you think that you're quote-unquote fit.
Uh-huh.
And I should probably disclaim that I was probably quote-unquote fit before I had children. So
yeah.
I'd like to feel like I'm in a place where I'm quote-unquote fit again. For some people, that might be completely like out of the realm of possibility.
And yeah.
I expect that walking might be like your level of fitness. Absolutely fine. But for me, this is like a big deal. And like we're getting back to a place of mental clarity, because running for me is absolute
sure thing.
Therapy. Yeah.
Oh, well done. That sounds like a great win.
What are you winning or winning this week?
Mine's not as exciting.
Yours is always exciting. Come on, what is it?
I don't know. Right, listeners, if you remember, like, I mean, I'm not going to lie now, it's a while. I've been doing this for a while.
Oh gosh, what is it?
You know, I've been decorating Master Jay's room. Well, still doing that.
Yeah.
Still doing it.
Okay.
It's just taking a lot longer, like, and having him in my room, he's obviously in his bed, but he's in my room, and yeah, it's just a challenge, because he obviously knows that I'm in the bed next to him, and he wakes up a lot at night. Like, he's never woken up this much at night, so I'm definitely like winging what feels like a bit newborny. Okay, it's not as bad for me, but it's like not ideal, him waking up like, multiple times a night. Like, last night was actually thankfully the best night we've had in a while, but the night before he was up 4 times from 1 a.m. and then was ready for the day at 5. I was like, no, that's like once an hour. No. Like, go to bed. His mum is tired. So,
do you think he can just hear you? Like, are you a noisy sleeper?
No, I'm not a noisy sleeper, like, at all.
Oh.
I think he just knows that I'm there. And to be fair, actually, let me just put a positive spin on this, which is a genuine positive spin. We got rid of the dummy like nearly 3 weeks ago now. Yeah, that is actually a huge win for him, not for me. He decided.
Wait for a second though. It is a huge win for you, because there are so many mums out there that are like keeping the dummy because it's better for them. They don't have to listen to the shouting or screaming. They're like, just put the dummy in. Whereas you've
which gone I did for
cold
a long
turkey.
Time.
That's amazing.
I think you know, Master Jay only had it when he slept. In his bed. Okay. Like, if he fell asleep in the car, he wouldn't have it. But if he had a nap at home and he goes to bed at night time at home, obviously, I don't know where else he would be.
Yeah.
He would have a dummy. And I was fine with that, because especially when he was sleeping in my room, like, I noticed that the dummy actually wasn't in his mouth a lot of the night, because I would like check on him in the night, especially when I went to bed. And the dummy was like hardly ever in his mouth. So I wasn't too concerned about it. And I just thought, there's no pressure. But long story short, we met up with some friends a few weeks ago, and they were telling me about their like getting rid of the dummy journey. And to be fair, it sounded horrific. One of the girls was really struggling with it. But I then started talking to Master Jay about the dinosaur dummy fairy. And he just kind of latched on to the idea of a dinosaur dummy fairy. I'm not sure what he thinks that is, but I think he was excited that they would like leave him a present when he gave them the dummy. So we just happened to go to the charity shop, and I bought him a couple of new animals because he's obsessed with animals. So they were in like 50p, like, you know, those little animal creature things, figures. And I bought him 3 of those, and he was like, oh, it's my present from the dinosaur dummy fairy. And I was like, oh, okay. Oh. And then, that night he was like, yeah, my present from the dinosaur dummy fairy. And I was like, well, you don't need the dummy anymore. He was like, no. And long story short, the first night was horrific, but after that, he was totally fine. And we're like, I think nearly three, I think we must be 3 weeks in now. And he hasn't really asked for it at all. But I do, I'll be honest, I do think that his sleep is just a little bit more, I don't know if it's restless or he's just, he doesn't have that soothing thing in his mouth. Like if he would wake up and didn't have it, he would obviously put it back in his mouth, but he doesn't have that now. So that is probably why he is being a bit restless. And then obviously me then being in the room, he can obviously see me, feel me, hear me, whatever.
Yeah.
I guess I'm just winging life with him in my room at the moment. But yeah, it's all going to come to an end soon. And yeah, it's fine. We'll talk about that another time.
I mean, we'll miss it when he's 10 and he's like, Mom, get out of my room. Don't even like you anymore. Like, go away.
Like, but it is true. Like, when he's upset, I don't have anything to just like stop the noise. And I'm not going to lie, that's a real challenge. But anyway.
Have you given in and put him in your bed yet?
He wouldn't sleep in my bed anyway. He's not that kind of, he's never been that kind of baby.
No?
I would love, I'm not going to lie, I would love for him to want to sleep in my bed. I would. I know that other people will have other challenges with that, but if he wanted to sleep in my bed and we both got sleep, I would love that. I would love that. But he he just thinks it's playtime, party time, and he's not interested in sleeping.
I love that kid.
So.
I love that kid. Yeah. Well, here's to enjoying your last few sleepovers before he goes back to his bedroom. It's going to be beautifully decorated.
Yep. Anyway.
Woo!
Woo!
Well, that was our wing and win of this week. Right, so relationships. We're going to get into the thick of it because this week, Alexandra has done something fabulous and she's been out to the people. She is. The people have spoken and the results we are sharing are from the people. Do you want to talk about what you've done and who you've seen?
Yeah, well, actually, we've both done research. you've been covering off the social media research, including our VIP vault chat, which you can tell them about.
It's a secret.
But I've been back on our favourite app, Peanuts, this week, and we asked, we just put out like 5 or 6 questions to the people, and we have had over 2,000 women give us their thoughts.
Mad.
That is insane for me. Our little podcast doing big girl research. I am gassed. 2,230 votes. As of 7:30 this morning, and it's now 9 o'clock, and 64 comments. So we've got loads of feedback. So Khadija and I thought that we would, we wanted to hear not just about our own, tell our own experiences, but actually get a bigger kind of consensus on how people are feeling about relationships, not just your relationship with your partner, if you have one, but relationships with your parents, relationships with your family, friends, and obviously then, partners. So we asked these questions, and today we're going to run through those questions, give you the insights, and obviously overshare, because that's just what we do. So the first question we asked, how has your relationship changed with your parents since becoming a parent yourself?
Okay.
So we had 4 answers, and I'm just going to summarise. Basically, 40% of people respect their parents so much more since becoming a parent. But there is this kind of other end of the spectrum, which is around 45%, where actually you expected more from your parents, or they haven't acted as you thought they would act, which I found really interesting. Like, it was quite a split, feedback, really. What do you think?
I think
about
it's interesting to see. I think it depends on how you answered the question, because you may respect your parents more, but you also may feel I respect them because now I understand. Like, I never used to understand. My mum used to come home from work and there used to be 3 cups in the sink, and she'd be like, she'd never shout at us, but she'd be like, couldn't anybody just wash these cups up? I can't even sit down. And I'd be like, they're cups. Like, just sit down. Wash the cups up tomorrow. Why are you making such a big deal out of it? Mm-hmm. And now I can't sit down and watch TV until, like, the day of play has been put away. And so, but I remember thinking as a teenager, like, bro, chill just out, have man. A day. Like, shut up. Have a day off. So yeah. I think there is an element of you realise how much extra stuff your parents do when you become a parent, or even when you just own a home. Like, the kitchen is never tidy, no matter how many times you tidy it.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just think that from that angle, that is probably where some of the respect comes from, but also just parenting and seeing how hard parenting is and thinking, yeah, you did that for me. When you look at your pet, do you ever look at your parents and think, yeah, you did that for me?
Yeah, but interestingly, like, from looking at some of the comments, like,
yeah,
although you can respect your parents more because, you know, they were your parents and you now know in detail more what being a parent involves, which is obviously, as we know, a lot.
Yeah.
Does that mean, like, is that the same, or does that mean we should be, like, thankful for our parents for, you know, doing those things? Or is that just, like, how it is? Because the reason I'm saying is because a few comments, and one specific comment really stood out to me. Somebody said, this is Alex that has said this, my mum feels entitled that I should be now thanking her every day for what she did to raise me. She only offers criticism, I know, and I had to restrict what I tell her because she tells everyone and makes me feel bad for absolutely everything and anything. I mean, obviously this is an extreme situation, but it just makes me think, like, we obviously choose to bring these children into the world, so my opinion is that they don't need to be thankful for us. I don't know if that makes sense.
It does make complete sense, and I totally agree. Like, I hate when I see people saying things, and I may be guilty of saying this when the children are older, but that whole, like, this is your payback for how you were with me. So, like, if you're if Roman is a bit of a wild child and I was a wild child, that my mum might be like, well, you know, you gave me years of hell, so Roman's hell to you.
You're getting,
like,
a taste kind of it thing. Now.
Yeah, but I just don't, I personally don't think that's the right way to play the game. I think you should just, like, I was how I was, Roman will be how Roman wants to be.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he has a crazy phase or not, brilliant or not brilliant. I think it's a hard one.
It is. And another person said, this is Giselle. I'm not sure how to say that name. I feel bad. I respect them much more, but they aren't supporting us as much as I thought they would. And, like, without throwing shade at my parents, I'm just going to be really honest. Like, I can definitely respect my parents, like, more. Like, I can definitely, like, align to that. I don't know if it's because I live quite far away from my parents. And recently, like, both my dad and my mum, who were separated, like, divorced, got different families, etc. They have both been a great, like, great, great support to me when I've been unwell, etc. And they've come all the way. And I know it's, like, you know, a 2-hour drive in the day. It's long. Like, I'm not going to lie, it's long. But I think in my head, the relationship I thought they would have with my children is, like, a bit different. My children, I've got one child, you know, because, and I think it's the distance thing. I think if I lived closer to them, they would, like, want to see us more, etc. Because, you know, we live closer, but when it's so far away, it's just, like, it's obviously a lot of effort. And also, I think there's an element of the, my parents both still work, right? They've got their own lives of working and having to, like, sort that out. Like, when I was a child, my mum's parents weren't working anymore. So, like, we had extra childcare and things like that. So there was an element of that. They were able to make that effort. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas, like, it's different these days, right? Because most people's parents still work at our age.
Yeah, I think... part of me is hesitating because I'm thinking, like, on the one hand, although you live far from them, no shade to your parents, but, like, that distance should make you want to travel further to see Master J because he is so far away from you. So you don't have that convenience of, like, oh, I was just popping to Tesco's and I thought I'd pop in and see Master J.
Yeah.
You kind of have to, like, book in the day.
Yeah.
But then I also live in a world where my mum has retired now.
Right.
And I will caveat, we only have... I say we only, my mum is fantastic and her partner is fantastic too, but we only have one set of my children only have one set of grandparents. Yeah. Yeah. So there's a lot of pressure on both of them to like be everybody in what, like right. be all the grandparents in one.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would be intrigued to see what my mum's level of effort would be like had she not, if she wasn't retired.
Yeah.
Although she still does live like 30 miles away from me.
Yeah. I just, I can totally get that. I think I just try to be very understanding of my parents' situation because I know like they're yeah. still navigating their like, you know, later life, midlife, later life, whatever you want to call it, you know, yeah. and still working. And still basically doing that it's like,
yeah.
I'm just trying to be understanding that they're not necessarily as available as I thought they might be in my head when I had children. So it's more my expectation, I think, versus that's the actual reality. Yeah. I don't think that yeah. they're bad grandparents by any means. I think they're actually amazing grandparents. And I'm lucky because I have step-parents as well. So Master yeah, yeah. J has two sets of grandparents on my side. And he also wow. obviously has Jonathan's you know family too, although they are in Ghana at the moment, but that's not going to be yeah. like forever. I just yeah. think it's like will be nice to see how that evolves over time. Yeah. We have considered moving closer to my family just so I can
yeah.
be closer to my family, because I think when you're a parent as well you realize that actually how much you might need your parents, or that has been the case for me anyway. I certainly yeah. have felt like when I've been in my depths of despair, I'm like, oh, I just like need my mom. I just need my yeah. dad, you know, and whatever. Yeah. And I'm like really lucky to have like great step parents as well. But yeah, I think it's just been an interesting like learning and figuring out a dynamic, you know. So yeah,
I think that's fascinating.
We'll see. So yeah, that was our first question.
Yeah, I loved that one. Yeah, I thought it was really interesting.
It's got a lot of layers. That one.
Yeah. Shall we hit them with number two?
Yes, go for it.
Okay, so this question is, since becoming a mum, do you feel more or less connected to your friends with children? Now, we had 49% of people said we just live different lives.
Yeah.
33% said our bond is stronger now. And then there was a few people in the poll that said, like, they're basically my kids too, as in their friends' children are like their children.
Yeah.
Or they find it hard to actually relate to their friends with children. Now, that could be, like, age, why they find it hard to relate, the parenting styles between them and the other friend, a numerous array of different things. I personally feel that my pre-baby friends with children, I find it hard to relate to them, but because they've got older children. So a lot of my friends had children when we were teenagers, and their friends now are like, their children, sorry, are now like adults. Mm-hmm. Whereas my nursery mum friends, who shout out to them because they're my ride or dies, and people like you who have got children my age, I can relate to all of you because we're either navigating something at the same time with like Master J and Roman being same age, or I can say to somebody like, oh, when your son, who's now 5, when they were 3, what were they like? Or when they were 1, and you still remember it. Whereas some parents who have got like 14-year-olds, do they remember what it was like when their kid was 2? Exactly. Like in depth? Probably not.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel you.
What
completely.
Did you find in the comments for yours?
So in the comments, a lot of people saying, I feel like, so this is from Mon, some I feel like their kids are my kids too, and we get on much better and can talk about anything and everything, so similar to what you're saying, but some have made me reevaluate the friendship altogether. And I think I can relate to that because I had like my 2 besties from uni. And they were like, you know, my girls that I continued to do life with. I even lived in the same building as one when we bought our first like flats together.
Wow,
well, actually,
yeah.
It was our second flat. But anyway, whatever, like we bought that. That was over like near Chiswick. And yeah, she was just like my babe and stuff. But obviously then since having a child, she's not in that part of life yet. She's not in a, you know, stable, longer term relationship or thinking about children, I don't think. But I think actually even just saying that now is I don't actually know where her head's at because we don't really speak anymore. And it's not like been a hate thing. It's just like over time, you know, our lives are just so different. Like she's not that interested in my life and I can't relate necessarily to her life. We're both just doing very different things. But then on the flip side, I've got my bestie, Lauren, from school. And she, like your friends, had children very young. And her children are now, like, in second... One of them's in secondary school and one of them's in, like, late junior school. And I love her kids, but she also lives in North London. We see each other maybe four times a year, like literally once a quarter, we plan it in and we hang out then. And no, we're at completely different stages of life. But there is something between us that just always, that just, she's like my, she's just keeps like my sister. Tight. Yeah. Even if we don't speak every day, which we don't. And even though I don't know her kids all that well, I would still do anything for her or those kids. So her kids would be like my kids as well if something, God forbid, touch wood, was ever to happen. But on a day-to-day, like, no, we're not like talking in the same way like you and I would be talking, you know. And I think someone actually said about new friends making like mum friends, which is totally, I can relate to. I've made some of my best friends from like meeting mum friends and putting myself out there now, because I know a lot of people say it's hard to make friends later on in life. I have actually found the complete opposite. I've found it quite easy to make friends. Yeah, because I have a baby, so I have an excuse to put myself out there to be like, hey, we're in the same boat. Like, do you want to be friends? That's like why I joined Peanut, right? And that's how...
Oh, yeah, but see, I find it harder even with the like friends advertisement child. I find it like painstakingly uncomfortable.
I think it's...
But just... I still do it.
Yeah, because you need those mum friends, like... You need that, right? And I think
it comes back to what you said about your parents. Like, it's the expectation. Like, I definitely expected my friends with or without children to be as obsessed with my child as I am of them. And some of them that aren't, I'm like, why aren't you? Why are you not, like, texting me every day being like, send me a new picture of Roman, or like, what's Roman doing? Or like, what's Renee been up to? Like, where are you? And we talked about on our Instagram TV series, I said to you, like, that I've now come to a place where I don't... If you expect me to bring Roman to your house because you never see him, that's your problem. Whereas you should be asking me, like, can we have a play date with the boys? You shouldn't just be like, oh, I never see Roman because you never bring him to my house. Like, what... Like, that's not how this works. Like, you should be interested enough to be like, oh, I haven't seen Roman in ages. Does he fancy coming to play? Or like, your mum might be like, oh, I haven't seen Master J in ages. Can we have a play date? This expectation that, oh, I never see Master J because you never bring him to my house.
Yeah.
But, no.
I love that you've mentioned that, because actually I think that sums up the whole expectation thing across any kind of these relationships. Of course, like, I want to take Master J to see my friends or my family or whatever.
Yeah.
But it would be nice to maybe be asked more often, you know, like, oh, can we do something? You know, can we see him? Can we see you guys? Like, you know, I would love that more. But yeah, I think it's just, like I said, I think it's an evolving thing. And I also think on the friend side of that, if those friends don't have children, they don't understand. If the friends that do have children, then they do understand, but maybe they're just like too into their, you know, their own life, which is totally fine. But it's just about reevaluating or like reassessing our expectations. Because I totally agree with what you've said on that statement. So yeah, we had nearly what, 300 votes on that one. So yeah,
whoa.
Intense.
All right, do you want to hit them with another?
Okay, so question three, and this was probably the juiciest one, right? And you're going to know why pretty much straight away. We had nearly 600 votes on this and 19 comments.
Honestly, this is wild.
Comments. Yeah, I know. Can you even get your head around that? Like, nearly 600.
I can't. I actually can't.
Taking an interest. Like, okay, guys, so... Do you feel more or less connected to your partner since having a baby?
Oh,
you can imagine this sparked some convo. So 33% said, and this was the biggest one, we're thick as thieves, solid. So the relationship is solid. Then, but very closely behind at 31%, so very evenly split, we're a bit like housemates.
Okay.
Nearly 20% of people said we're still finding our groove. And 17% said being the default parent is a lot. So what I take from this is obviously that it's very split. And what we don't know, and we get a bit of context from the comments, but what we don't know on the face of those results is at what stage these people that are answering are at of their parenting journey.
Oh, yeah.
So it might be that, you know, the people that are saying that they're a bit like housemates might be in the thick of, you know, the quote unquote newborn trenches vibes.
Versus
the people that are saying they're more solid are maybe a year or two down the line or whatever.
Yeah.
So we're taking some inferences from that. We can't, you know, completely say, but we have had some incredibly quite intense and quite exposing comments. Very honest though, and I really like love that people have been so honest, but basically some people being very open, saying that it's really bad. They've been together nearly 8 years, and although it's been a wild and hard ride, lots of ups and downs, I find it very depressing, and I think we need to prioritize ourselves more, but it's really hard to see how to do that when we can never put the baby down. So that's someone that's going through us. Other people saying it's made us stronger having a baby each time. My husband's very supportive, especially after the birth of the baby. Rocky start, don't really have a village. Actually, the word village came up quite a lot, and I can definitely like relate to not having a village. Do you know what I mean? It's just not the same 100%. As it used to be, like when we were younger. I think obviously I referred to it when we're talking about the relationship with our family and parents and things. Like, my parents still work. Like, they can't just take that time off to come and be my little village. Do you know what I mean? I'm sure they would love to, but it's just not feasible. So how do you, how does one cope? Like,
And then also, where do you where do you find, you see how like we found friends later in life, but respectfully to all of our friends, how do you know when to trust your friends enough to be like, right, you see, like, my mum can't help, your mum can't help, but someone needs to look after the boys. Who are you calling?
Yeah.
And who are you trusting to leave Master Jay or Roman with? Like, even if you have an army of friends, friends with children, friends without children, I find it really hard to know who am I dialing?
I think I've been through that recently when I've had to, like, go to something quickly, and I've just, like, I'll be honest, I've literally had no choice. Like, my parents, like, obviously couldn't get here for 2 hours, but my friend Lydia was just like, it's fine, I'll come. And she just came straight away with her little girl. She's got a baby, it's like 9 months old. Yeah. And she just looked after my Master Jay for a couple of hours so that I could just do what I needed to do. And I wouldn't have asked her, I don't think. I don't think I would have dialed her. Not because I don't trust her. I absolutely do trust her and I love her, but I just wouldn't have had the confidence and trust in myself to make that decision. But because she offered and was like, it's fine, don't worry, just go and do what you need to do. I'm there. And she was here in 15 minutes. It was like the choice was taken out of my hands. And so therefore, you know, it was kind
so good.
It was kind of done for me. And so that would be my answer to that. So yeah, like, what are your thoughts on that question then? Like, feeling more or less connected to your partner since having a baby?
I think that Cameron and I are more, I can't speak for him, but I think we're more connected. So I'd have said we're as thick as thieves, hashtag solid, because I think that we've grown a lot as people. I don't know whether I'd have answered this question the same after Roman. I'd have to think about it. But certainly now we've both grown so much as people in becoming parents, what our identity now looks like, what type of role model we want to be for our children. And we've become really aligned on a lot of things. Not that we weren't before, but maybe it's just more apparent now. And so therefore, I think, I feel like we're way more connected now. Yeah. And we just like speak an unspoken like language that you just give each other a look and you're like, yeah, cool. That's the that.
No, I agree.
What about you and Jay?
I think, again, now, very solid. And I always feel, very proud of us, given that we're, 3 years into this. And, you know, we've been pregnant / had a baby for our whole relationship. Yeah. We've only done it 3 months without a baby. So I think that I'm forever, so proud and thankful that we obviously chose each other and we every day make it work. I don't... I think we it definitely did take us a while to find our groove. So that 20% of people that are saying, you know, we're still finding our groove, like, I can definitely relate to that. And I think that although we're like, two and a half, you know, Master Jay's nearly 2.5 years through, plus the pregnancy, that it's like, so we've been doing it over 3 years. Like, what am I talking about? But anyway, you get my point.
Yeah, I know what you mean,
Although, I'd agree and say, super solid now. It definitely took a while. And I think that that was part learning even who each other were, because 100%. We didn't really know each other, you know, before choosing to do parenting with each other. But I think, like, if we are, you know, to have another baby, then we would definitely, I think I would probably have more conversations, or want us to have more conversations ahead of having another baby to help that newborn trench vibe. Because I've learned a lot about how Jay felt in that period of time, only in the last like 6 months. I didn't know he felt certain feelings in that period of time until just recently. And some of those feelings I would never want him to feel again. So I would want us to have like a lot more communication about, like, okay, well, if this happens, how are we going to handle that? Or what are we going to do? Because we've also obviously got toddler in the mix of it now, you know, then having a new baby. So there's a lot more moving parts, I guess. But yeah, I guess like my point here is that within these results, necessarily don't know what stage everybody is at when they're answering that question. So hence I can relate to two parts of it. And if anybody's listening and feels like, you know, they're a bit like in housemate zone, they're a little bit finding their groove, like, I definitely felt that. It definitely took a good year, I think, for us to find that time for each other again.
That place,
and how you navigate, like how do you do life? Like, Big J was working long hours all the time. I was basically felt like a single mum a lot of the time. But there's other benefits. So it was kind of me also learning what that lifestyle and our life was going to look like, and figuring that out. So I think it does get better.
It just takes time, for sure. I don't think I've found my groove yet with, like, finding time for me and Cameron. We found our groove of, like, parenting and existing.
Yes.
But I definitely haven't yet. Like, we're still trying to navigate, like, can we get a monthly date night in? And who's going to babysit? And where's the baby, like, where's the 2-hour North London drive coming from to, like, fit in that? So, I just want to caveat for anybody listening that I don't have all my together.
Yeah.
I just have this bit of surviving, growing two humans together. I definitely don't have, like, the date part of it, or the relation. I don't know if that makes sense.
You don't have it all wrapped up, like, no, and that I can completely agree with that too. I think the question is about feeling more or less connected, and I think what we're both saying is we definitely feel a lot more connected to our partners now that we've been through maybe some, you know, ups and downs or wriggles, you know, and it took time to get there, but you know, we've kind of figured that out. But definitely we've not got a handle on how do we make time for each other? Which takes us nicely into the next question. Okay, so this was also a very juicy question, and you'll know why. Have your levels of intimacy with your partner changed since having a baby?
Ooh.
The answers were very fun. So 15% of nearly 400 people party often with their significant other. 30%.
Getting those sheets, girl.
How does anyone find the time? 30%. I'm feeling you. 41%, I'd like to have, you know, higher levels of intimacy, but we're both really tired.
Yeah.
And 14%, we're less interested in each other. Sad.
Which I can appreciate. Like, I appreciate the honesty in that. And I definitely think we've all probably had moments of, like, get away from me.
I mean, the comments here... Kristen is saying, we've always had a good sex life and my sex drive has been going up and up lately.
Kristen.
Kate is, she answered less interested, but that is her being less interested, not him. He would do it every day.
Ooh.
I am just so tired and hardly make time for him, which is really sad. And I'm really hoping that once I stop breastfeeding, things might change. And
that's interesting.
Yeah, this is interesting because with my breastfeeding journey, which was 100 million% the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. It was depressing. Mm-hmm. It was really sad. It was just really hard, but I was adamant it was going to happen, and I was not giving up for many reasons.
Yeah.
But that definitely impacted my sex drive and my, I just did not want to be touched. Not going to lie.
Okay.
Like, I don't know why. And I hear it quite often from people breastfeeding. You know, especially at the breast. So I know breastfeeding and pumping is breastfeeding, but I think there's something about a baby being on your nips 24/7, which is very normal, obviously, with breastfeeding, that really can turn you off the whole touching thing.
100%.
And obviously then also your hormones, which you would still get if you were pumping. Just wild. But yeah, I can definitely relate to that.
I think even if you're like formula feeding, there just is an element of like, particularly that person before that said they can't, they'd love to do it more, but they can never put the baby down. Like, there is just an element of you're being touched by a baby all day, which is lovely, but there is sometimes where you're like, just get off me. Like, Christ, can I not just leave me alone? And then you've got this partner who you also want to be, maybe at times feel you want to be close to, but there is an element of like, oh, they've got to touch me again. So I've just spent all day being smothered by skin. Mm. Like, ugh, can you leave me alone? And
the other comments are pretty much like, I just don't have the energy. I'm tired all the time. I don't have the energy. So, yeah, I think I'd like to, but both tired and also how does anyone find the time? Like, they're the ones that relate to me the most. But again, I think it depends what type of, like, where you're at in your journey.
Yeah. And also where you are as, like, you see, for example, like you and Jay, who haven't been together as just you and Jay for a long period of time, versus myself and Cameron, who have, we had like 6 years of just us before the children came along. I think it kind of, where were you in your sex life story before you even put children and tired and touched out and boobs and everything else into the mix?
Yeah.
I think that also can like impact then whether you're like, yeah, we've done it for 6 years solid. Go away. Like, you've had your time. Leave me be. Or whether you're like, no, I love you more now we've had children. Now I just want to like touch you all the time and not touch the babies. I don't know. I think you have to find
a medium. I think it's a good point, because obviously in our relationship, we went from honeymoon period, we party often, to we're now pregnant, don't touch me. So it was like, and I wasn't one of those pregnant women that, I wasn't like, you know, really up for it during pregnancy. Like, I know some people have the complete opposite experience, like jealous, but that wasn't me. So it was quite a drastic difference, I would say, in our relationship. But, you know, we found our groove in that period, but there were definitely obviously times where it was not a priority and it 100%. Wasn't that. But it's like, I also learned that it's really important to talk about it and to, for us anyway, it was important to talk about it and like be open so that each other understands that it's not like, oh, you don't love me anymore, or like you don't fancy me anymore. Because I definitely went through a really insecure period and I was like, you're just not attracted to me anymore, like you don't love me. Because obviously I'm feeling insecure in myself. My body's like three times as the size as it was before having a baby, and I just feel like unsexy and sweaty because breastfeeding and like all of that. It was just like gross. Like, for me, it was gross that, you know, I definitely went through that insecure period, but you know, you come out of it the other side, and then obviously you just get through it. But I think the communication around intimacy is really important, and one that shouldn't be like 100%. Hid away from, because you don't want things to like go in bad directions, you know.
Your partner needs to still feel like they're your first baby, essentially. Sorry to Jay and Cameron and the dads out there, but they essentially were your first, and then they've got to share you with another baby, and you give all this love to this person, not the love to them, or you do, depending on whether you party or don't party. But you kind of, it definitely took me a while to kind of register, like, yeah, Cameron had all of me, and now he has to share me. And I wasn't thinking about that, because I was like, oh my gosh, all my focus is going in on this baby. And actually, I needed to be like, no, we were two. He had like all of my attention, and now he doesn't. And that's a tough pill to swallow when you're just kind of pushed, that toy's now been pushed in the corner because you've got a new toy.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you basically can't forget about your partner as well. But again, it's just... also, like, in saying that, it's like, God, it's like a lot of pressure, isn't it? It's like you've got to look after your baby, and then you've got to think about your partner, and then, like, where does yourself come into that?
That actually rolls on nice to our next question, you know?
It does. It does. Have you got any hands there? I know you've got little Renee in your arms.
I have got hands free. Our next question, or our last question, I think.
Yes, was, it's our last one.
Do you feel becoming a parent has changed you?
Yeah.
And this one I found interesting again, because the answers were, I'm the same person with or without the children, I'm transitioning / growing into a new person, I can see I'm a better person, or I don't think it's changed me positively, but I'll get there. The thing I found the most interesting was the people that said, I'm the same person with or without the children.
Yeah, I find that wild.
Purely because I just don't. I'd love to ask some of them, or I don't know if you had any comments that related to that answer, but how can you possibly be the same person before and after you had children? Because, I mean, maybe the dad can, but I know I doubt it. I don't think dads can be the same, even though it's not happened to their body. Mm. There's so much that's happened in their life, like finances, pressure, responsibility. I just don't see how... You can be the same. But maybe people mean they're the same level of fun, or they're the same level of adventurous, rather than they're the same, like, holy.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
No, I understand. And I think there's another element to throw into that mix as well. Somebody named Squishy Mummy One replied.
Oh, hello.
Saying, no, basically, it's not the becoming a mum that's changed me. Aging and life experience has changed me. As it changes everyone.
Ooh.
So she was taking it from a different angle, as in like it's not specifically the mum. And that I've not thought about it like that. I think that obviously makes sense, because like you're changing, but obviously becoming a mum is a huge part of that life experience. So I would say yes, like becoming a mum like has changed me, and I think it will continue to change me. I mean, obviously being a stay-at-home mum as well, like. Right now, aside from our podcast, being a mum is my whole entire personality. And I've now accepted that that is fine. And that's okay for that to be the case, which I've discussed on another podcast. Like, that's not always been the case for me or how I felt. But I thought that was an interesting angle that she took. I would say I fall into the I'm transitioning, growing camp, as 50% of people answered that question out of nearly 400 people. So... most people are basically saying they can see that they're, you know, growing and they're changing throughout motherhood, but there is that kind of 8% that said that they've not been changed positively. And I know that you were like, when I suggested these answers, you were a bit like, oh, that's a interesting, like,
that's a bold
option
one.
That's a bold one.
That's a bold one.
But I was quite honest and said that I put that because at times I have felt that becoming a mum hasn't been a positive change, like, because on the days where I feel like I'm a crap mum, or I'm just not doing a good job, or, you know, I'm just really overwhelmed or tired and finding it really hard, like, I do sometimes just feel like I don't like how I'm parenting, or, you know, I just, I feel like this isn't a good change. Like, I don't like who I am. And it might only be for those fleeting moments or for that one night or whatever, but then I'll have a cry and I'm, you know, reminded by Jay that I'm an amazing mum and he really helps me get out of that headspace. But in that moment, I feel like, no, it's not a positive change. But then I guess, like I'm saying, when I reflect, I'm just growing and I'm learning to, you know, do these or how to be a mum. But someone said in the comments, honestly, so this is Anika, honestly, becoming a mum has made me into a monster. I am angry, I am not patient, I am not happy most of the time, and I am exhausted.
Oh, Anika.
And I felt for her, because I have felt
for
her.
For her, yeah. And that's so raw and so honest. I feel the honesty in that, and I feel I feel so many things. Oh my gosh, I feel a bit welly, like, I feel my eyes are a bit, like, my eyes are a bit damp, mush. People. My eyes are damp, because I just feel like,
it is hard. On the other side, I can't read this girl's name, Kasumi said, my kids have taught me more than I ever imagined. They have softened me and they have made me way more understanding and patient. They have also taught me a lot about myself. Nothing like seeing your flaws transfer to your kids to make you reevaluate yourself and how you behave.
Wow.
I was like, oh, That felt like a bit of a mirror. I'm being really honest. Freaking out. It felt like a bit of a mirror to me, because like when I'm seeing, like what I was just saying, when I feel like I'm a rubbish mom, it's so true. It's like, I don't want to shout at you, Master J. Like, I don't want to, I just don't know how to control myself or deal with myself. Do you know what I mean? So, you know, in the ideal world, can be this lovely, honest and, you know, calm and gentle parent, but that shit just doesn't run every day. It doesn't.
Sometimes.
So.
No. And I don't. My last point is, and I'll leave the lesson thinking about it, but I never, Cameron said this to me before, and I hadn't thought about it before becoming a parent, nobody had prepared me for that kind of like reevaluation of self and of how you were parented and of how you want to parent, and all these relationships tied into one. You then project, like you said, you don't want to shout at Master J sometimes, but you need to just be like, oh my god, go away, and like, you don't want to like have a go at Roman, or I don't want to prepare Roman this way, but there is an element of, as much as they're learning and growing into a new person, you're like re-evaluating your whole set. Like sometimes I feel like I'm re-evaluating like 32 years of life in order to put a better version of me into this person, so they become a better person.
Yeah.
Boy, we've been on a journey.
It gets really deep. Like, I think personally, I think it also depends on the kind of upbringing you've had and the type of childhood, type of parents you've had. But I recently started reading this book, and it's called The Book You Wish Your Parents Had Read, and Your Children Will Be Glad That You Did, or something like that. I think we share that on our stories, or maybe do a bit of a post on it, because it's very much like, it's exactly what you're saying, basically, like helping you kind of see things through the eyes of your parenting, and like how we can have like better relationships with our children, and like not, you know, continue generational trauma and things like that. So I would definitely recommend that book. I've not read too much of it. I've only read a couple of chapters. Like, I need to read more, but you know, let's find the time for that within finding the time for all these relationships. So that kind of wraps up our peanut polls. I like that, peanut polls. Just over 2,200 women. Like, thank you so much.
Crazy. And thank you to the women that also contributed to our Instagram polls and our VIP room polls. We have included your results in our reflections today. They just obviously haven't been as stat heavy as Peanut, because of the way Peanut presents their statistics. Put your teeth in. But we have thoroughly loved everybody that's been honest and brave and bold enough to sort of share their deep, dark thoughts and secrets with us, because as much as this is an honest podcast, it's nice. It's nice that we're honest, but it's nice to hear that other people, you know, don't just live in a field of roses and daisies and everything's cute all the time. Like, we've definitely been on an honest journey today.
Yeah, and we'd love to hear your thoughts and feedback, if you've got any more following on from the episode, and maybe how it left you feeling after hearing maybe that others are in the same boat as you. Because, like, there's quite a lot of women, obviously, that have responded to that, so it should... Hope you feel less alone if you have felt alone at any point of your journey in any of those types of situations. That's kind of brings everything to a close for today. Shall we wrap it up?
It does. And actually, next week is our last episode. So make sure you stay tuned for next week. We're going to switch the episode up slightly, throw in a few new things, maybe share a few new things, and who knows what you might hear. So, please come along for our last episode of the series.
Yeah, I'm sad, but I am excited to. I'm very excited for it. It's going to be really good. So
it's the beginning and not the end. But yes, let's thank everybody for listening. And if you have listened from the gym treadmill, which apparently a lot of people now do, I hope you've enjoyed your walk and you're sweaty.
Yeah.
If you have been around the park or have been just having a bit of you time, I hope you've enjoyed it. Do another lap of the park or sit and refill that coffee cup in Costa one more time, because you deserve 5 minutes of peace. And if your children have screamed whilst you've listened to this episode, then fair enough. Give yourself two and start the day again, because that's what I like to do.
And if you gave up halfway through, you won't be hearing this anyway. So maybe see you next week.
Perfect. Right. See you later.
Bye. Bye.